Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of our series, The South Shore Scoop. I'm Kristen Bates, and today we are joined by the president and the CEO of the South Shore Chamber of Commerce, Peter Foreman. Take a look. Peter Foreman, you have been the president and CEO of South Shore Chamber of Commerce. How long have you been in this role?
About 16 years now.
Great. And the South Shore Chamber of Commerce itself has been around for over 115 years now, which is an insane amount of time.
We're coming up about 120, which makes it about 17, 18, so close to 120 years. But it's been a long time for a membership organization. We are, I believe, the oldest business association on the South Shore. With the largest, but certainly one of the oldest. Chambers have been around for a couple hundred years, in some form even longer than that, but it really is a testament to the business leadership on the South Shore that this organization has been around for as long as it has.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible. And if you would mind, go ahead and tell our viewers a little bit about the history of the South Shore Chamber of Commerce and how you guys help the South Shore community.
Sure. So we started as a Quincy Board of Trade or some business association. It wasn't called a chamber back in its original day. Became a chamber in the, I believe, the early 1900s. Really grew different missions based on the economy of the South Shore. But about 30, 35 years ago, business leaders realized that it was more than a one city chamber, that it really needed, the South Shore needed a regional voice because of the play with Boston and being so tied into the Boston economy, but not part of Boston. People realized that businesses could have a larger voice in the South Shore, could have a larger voice if there was a regional business association. So we've really moved from a local chamber in our roots to being truly a regional chamber, looking at the economy of the entire South Shore. And our mission is really twofold. It's to help our member businesses grow and be more successful, and to improve the quality of life and economy of the entire region, because economies really aren't local. There may be local decision making, but economic activity really is regional, and advocacy for the region or the communities could be stronger when there is a regional voice. So that's sort of the area we play into. There are many different types of chambers, but our work is mostly focused on improvement of quality of life through economic activity and helping our businesses, predominantly our smaller businesses, succeed. Because we're one of the largest chambers in the state, people mistakenly assume that we're all large businesses. And in fact, 80% of our members are 10 or fewer employees, and a large number of businesses, our members are independent contractors or consultants or sole proprietors, and don't have an employee base, but they are contributing to the economic success of businesses.
So you do help out with a lot of small businesses. What type of small businesses or local businesses do you typically help?
So we will get a range of businesses depending on what issues are facing them. The very small businesses, depending on where they are in their business growth, if they're brand new, they're looking for some type of technical assistance often. How do they set up a business? How do they go about putting together a business plan? Where might they get some funding for it? If they've been around for a while and they're just comfortable with the number of employees they have in their growth plan, they may be looking for something a little bit different. They may be looking for growing the economic base more than just expanding their individual business contacts. If a larger business, they may be more interested in the political advocacy and how they can contribute to the well-being of the area, because so many of their employees live in the area. So it really depends on the business owner, and the people who are involved with the chamber. Different people in the same organization might use us for very different reasons. Some it might be business development, some it might be political advocacy, some might be market information that could be helpful to them in their organization. And sometimes it's just pure networking. People, in spite of what we're going through now, people actually used to, a long, long time ago, used to actually like to shake hands and meet one another. Someday that might come back.
We hope. Another benefit that you guys have with the South Shore Chamber of Commerce is a membership. So talk to me a little bit more about the membership and what the benefits are with becoming a member with you guys.
So we look out, as I mentioned, for the whole region, and we'll often speak up for issues that are important to the region that benefit people who may or may not be members. To become a member is pretty easy, and the benefits of that are you're just open, you have a lot more opportunities to engage with other businesses, with other business leaders, to be part of the decision-making of the chamber, drive some of our programming. We have a small staff. We have 8 people in our office. What really drives us are our volunteers. We have over 300 active volunteers who are driving our agenda and our programming. And membership allows you to be part of that mix, allows you benefits in terms of marketing, access to the other members, information, coming to events and programs. And then sometimes you might need personal assistance. And while we'll be polite to everybody, we're not going to go too far out of our way to be spending resources with people who aren't members. One exception for that has been during a disaster of some type. Usually it's issues with storm and weather, but in this current environment, we have been helping companies that are not members, because it's to all of our members' advantage that businesses survive and that we try to help them through this. So we have been, we haven't been checking people's membership at the door when they call for advice or help.
Speaking of that, there has been a lot of concern with the coronavirus pandemic and everybody working from home, businesses shutting down. How have local businesses in the South Shore community been affected? And what are some trends that you are seeing with how businesses are adjusting to this new normal?
So it depends a lot on what the business is and their particular situation. Most of our members, whether they're large or small, were affected by the stay-at-home orders and the shutdown, essentially. Either their clients weren't going to be in their offices or their employees weren't going to be in the offices. So everyone hustled in terms of figuring out how to conduct business remotely, whether that was internal operations or external sales and servicing of members. So there was a lot of that scrambling. A lot of scrambling the last couple of weeks, people wondering what the federal relief programs were looking like, how they could apply, how it would affect them. Now that that money is coming through, people are having even more questions about how does that work with a loan repayment or loan forgiveness? When do employees have to come back to work? But it's interesting, for the most part, the first concern everyone we talked to was health and safety of their employees. And then it was well-being of their employees, because a lot of our businesses had to go through furloughs, some temporary reduction of hours. So there was a lot of concern. How do they take care of their employees? Because there's an expectation that they will be coming back and they want to keep the business going. Then it was, okay, how does my business get through this? And that's gone through phases because at first it was thought this is a 3 or 4 week shutdown. And people were thinking, what do I do for just remote access to get phones answered for the first couple of weeks? And then it became more about cash flow and employee benefits. and how does the business get through a 1 month, 2 month period. Now it's a little bit longer where people are thinking, many of them are going to be reduced staffing and reduced activity, probably through June or July, even if their doors are open. So they're now thinking about the rest of the year and really looking at 18-month planning, figuring this year most businesses are going to take a pretty serious hit, but they're looking to stabilize and sort of average out the 2 years.
So it's interesting that you bring that up, because there have been reports that there will be a potential second wind with this COVID-19, probably around the fall area. In your opinion, what are some good steps that the local businesses in the South Shore community can take just to prepare just in case?
I think everyone's going to be more prepared if it comes down to a second shutdown. I don't think the shutdown would be as long, but nobody knows how the virus is going to go and where we're going to be in terms of treatment or even inoculations for this. But I think if there's a business disruption, people will know what the fire drill is. If they've been through this, it probably won't be as long. They're going to be more prepared. I think there was a quick learning lesson this time. A lot of healthy things can come out of this. There are going to be some business failures, but there are a lot of healthy things. People are looking a lot more strategically at their operations. They're thinking more creatively about how they operate their office, how they conduct their business. So I think if there is a second wave, it will not catch people by surprise. It won't be having quite the impact that this has had. And businesses will be much more prepared and know how to deal with it and how to go through a 1 or 2 week shutdown if it comes to that. But I'd be surprised if we actually had to go through another shutdown like we're doing now. And if we did, I think it would be a pretty short one.
So with all of this happening with small businesses, I know there are people that are afraid, maybe they don't have, or they're not knowledgeable about any resources that they can turn to. What type of resources are out there for local businesses in our South Shore area?
So there are a lot. Our website, a lot of business associations' websites have information about the loan programs, resources that are available. These are always being updated. There's the personal outreach. The phones do get answered here. We are responding to emails. But it's connections, because people are confused. They have a lot of questions. This is a very strange experience for everybody. And really what helps is being able to talk to other professionals and other peers to compare notes about how do you get through something like this. You know, an issue of low cash reserves and slow sales is not unique to a pandemic. That happens in other situations, whether it be natural disaster, bad weather storms, something like that, a downturn in the economy. Some of the things that businesses are going through now are not entirely different than other economic situations that they may face or other downturns. So the peer connection, talking to people who have been through it, comparing notes about how you get through a particular phase of something, that's incredibly helpful. So website gives you access to essentially reading material. Chamber activities and a lot of what we're doing gives you access to group conversations. And then individual outreach gives you a little bit more concierge benefit in maybe being connected individually to somebody who can help. There will be a lot of work that businesses will have to do coming out of this. There's going to be a lot of recovery that has to go take place throughout the nation. That's no different for the South Shore. We're going to see some businesses disappear, but we won't see those entrepreneurs disappear. They're going to still be around, maybe starting a new business, maybe needing some new help starting that. The employees aren't going to disappear. They're still going to be around, maybe in a different job. So our mission isn't just to help businesses get through this, but help the whole economic climate. So as business models change and new businesses emerge out of this, we're prepared to take advantage of that.
So you mentioned earlier a bit about the recovery process, how some businesses might close, but there will still be employees seeking work. In your opinion, what do you think that recovery process is going to look like once we are on the other side of this outbreak?
You'll get some reports when we come out of it. In the short run, we will start hearing of some businesses that just decided to close. Either they weren't able to sustain themselves through the 1 or 2 months that we've been shut down, or they were on the cusp to begin with. Either it was a new business just starting and this set them back, or maybe a business that was beginning to think of phasing out or selling. This might accelerate some of that. So I think we'll see some of that over the summer. I think you're going to get a couple of other waves from that. You're going to get people or businesses that were able to come through this and have a struggle at the end of the year or into next year to catch up with the ground they lost. You're going to have some companies that actually grow or come out of this. And towards the end of the year or next year, their struggle might be, how do they handle growth? How do they handle a new business model that will allow them to grow more? How do they handle new services or products or expectations? And they're going to need some help there. So you're going to see some ripple effects into the end of the year and next year as well. And then you'll get that third wave of people who just decided that this particular problem just created some new ideas for them, created a different business model, and they may start over. They may close down one business, start another. And that would probably come next year, and that would all be good economic activity.
Okay. And how do you think the South Shore Chamber of Commerce will be able to help once we start this recovery process with local businesses?
We're thinking about that now. We're thinking about our business model and what we're offering, and not so much our business model, because it is the same mission: help existing businesses, help businesses that are starting, and make the region economically strong. That doesn't change. What we focus on probably will change. We'll probably be spending a lot more time the next 18 months looking at how we help new businesses that are starting, because I think there will be more of that. We will be probably stepping up some of our advocacy work for the region. It's an enormous amount of federal money that has come through the system. There's going to be a payback somewhere. There's going to be some second guessing about how the government handled this, what businesses survived, which ones didn't, how businesses might be prepared, or the country might be prepared for something like that. There are going to be some practices that, good and bad, that came out of this that the government might respond to. And we're going to want to be working with our businesses, because I see an awful lot of government action coming out of this over the next 2 years. Some of that might be helpful. Some of that may not be very helpful for small businesses. So our political advocacy probably steps up. Our advocacy for the region probably steps up quite a bit, because there will be some economic changes in activity. There will be some government action. So we'll want to speak up for the region, and the region is not a member, but that's our job, is to advocate for the whole region. Looking a little bit more than we've been looking at municipal government. I think municipal government, it's a critical infrastructure for business and the economy. I expect there's going to be a lot of fallout for our municipalities, and our local business leadership in those communities can be a very helpful partner with municipal government in thinking through how individual towns respond to budget cuts they're going to have, their own economic development plans. So we'll probably step up some of our conversations with municipal officials.
So something that I've seen a lot is how everyone within the community has been stepping up, coming together. This is obviously a very difficult time for a lot of businesses within the South Shore community. What are some positive things that you've seen around the community with local businesses and people in the South Shore area?
So with the obvious caveat that there's nothing positive about a disease that is killing people, when we get through it, I think we'll look back and some of the positive things we will see is just how connected everybody was, sharing the same crisis. I think at a lot of levels, that has a lot of long-term benefit that we'll see paying off maybe for a generation. I think for businesses, what we'll see is acceleration of business changes and market changes, which will accelerate what business owners were thinking about in terms of their own operations, how they may have to adjust. Whenever you have a disruption and an adjustment, you're going to have some people who don't their businesses don't survive that. Other businesses become stronger and they grow. And we'll see some of that. We can't predict now who those winners and losers are going to be, which businesses are going to grow stronger, even within the same industry or cluster of businesses. You can't tell who's going to become stronger from this and who's really going to be permanently hurt by it, but you will see some new growth, and that's almost inevitable. We want to make sure that those who are able to grow or start over, that we're here to help them. But I think there will be a lot of positive things that do come out of this, just hard to identify what they're all going to be, because this will linger in people's memory for many, many years.
Absolutely. I do want to shift gears really quickly, because you guys did create a nonprofit back in 2015, I believe. Could you guys speak more about that nonprofit and how people can get involved?
Sure. We are a nonprofit. What we created was what's called an affinity group of like-minded businesses, in this case, nonprofits. We started it a few years ago. We did a large economic development plan for the region, and we looked at what the South Shore needs to be more competitive economically, so that people have more choices of jobs down here and the quality of life is higher. We have a pretty high quality of life on the South Shore, but we want to give people more choices than the 3-hour commutes to Boston for those good jobs. So we looked at this region and have an economic development strategy. And one of the industry types or business segments that we really thought was very important to this plan were the not-for-profits, for two reasons. One is because of the missions they all drive, whether they be cultural or social service nonprofits. But secondly, because in the aggregate, they're such large employers. So when we look at helping our existing employment base, there are an awful lot of people employed by nonprofits, big and small, throughout the area. And they're providing incredible services that enhance the quality of life down here, which help attract new residents and new businesses. So we thought that it was important to step up and try to look at ways that the business community and the chamber can be more helpful to nonprofits as a particular business segment. And that was the purpose of our not-for-profit group. Same way we're doing this with some local chambers. We have affiliations with seven or eight other groups. Six of them are local chambers, and what we do there, and it's the Hingham Business Council as well, but what we do there is provide backroom services so that the local volunteers can focus more on what they're doing in the community, but we'll help them with the record keeping, the tax filings, insurance policies, data, manage that for them. And that's been very helpful too, because we create not a competitive chamber or a competing chamber, but we help build a local partner. So while we focus more on regional issues, we're supporting local businesses that are more focused on their municipality. So we've been doing a lot of that kind of collaboration with groups for the last few years as part of a larger economic development strategy.
Wow. So we've obviously learned a lot about the South Shore Chamber of Commerce and what you guys do. If our viewers are interested in getting more information from you guys, what's a good area to visit to gather more information?
I would go to the website, southshorechamber.org, and explore that. It's a pretty deep website, so there's a lot to it in terms of events, information, advocacy. Or the other, if they're interested in the economic development work, southshore2030.com. And that's a separate website because that work is a little less focused on immediate member services. We have a lot of community groups and non-members and private citizens who are interested in the larger economic and community development work. So either of those websites would do it, or give us a call, send us an email.
Peter Foreman, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to join us on this episode of the South Shore Scoop. Enjoy the rest of your day and have a good one.
Great, you too. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.